on the right side. God our provider.
Amen. Yes.
And as soon as Grace read Psalm 34,
oh, right.
Okay. Yes, right. Praise God. Praise God. Well, God is our provider.
Yes.
I think that's already been said a few times today. That He will provide everything we need.
Amen.
And some can just look at it as He's providing financially. But no, He provides every area.
Yeah.
Finance is just one of those things. It's just one of those things that we need now.
Yeah.
They didn't particularly need it then, because they could barter in the olden times. So it wasn't as important, although it was important, but it wasn't as important as it is now. Because they won't accept a sheep for your rent bill or something like that these days. So you've got to have that metal or square stuff and rectangular stuff, paper. Praise God.
Amen.
Well, we're going to start in Genesis 22. Right to the beginning of the Bible. In Genesis 22. And it's all about, well, we're going to look at Abraham. And he appeared on the scene in chapter 11, I think it is. And it was interesting that, God sent him off to Canaan. That was where he was aiming for. And his father-in-law actually set off for Canaan with him and his wife and with Lot. But they never made it. They stopped off. And they found somewhere really nice. But God blessed them there. But it's strange, I've never really seen that before. Even his father-in-law, his father had the same impression that God wanted them to move there. But God wasn't fazed that they stopped off. He just waited a bit longer. And called his son to do it.
Yeah.
So we're going to start in verse. Let's have a look. We might read it all. Well, Abraham's had a name change now. And he's already tried to help God out once. And made a mess of it with Ishmael.
Yeah.
Who we're still paying the cost of that now. With the Arabs, as they say. Yeah. So he didn't do us any favours. But it was trying to help God out. God says, I don't need your help. I think that's already been mentioned this afternoon.
Yeah.
Don't need your help. I can do it myself.
Yeah.
Right. All I want is your obedience. Yeah. That's all I'm wanting. And Abraham decided to listen. And eventually after a few conversations and a few giggles from Sarah and one thing and another, Isaac was born.
Yeah.
So he was the true son of Abraham. He was the true son of who would become great later on for God.
Yeah.
And we get to chapter 22, and it's entitled in mine, which these titles, of course, weren't there, but it says, God tests Abraham. Right, God will test you.
Yeah.
New converts, God will test you.
Yes, he will. Yeah.
Right? He will test you to see that what you really said, you really meant.
Yeah.
And he will test you, not in a horrible way.
Not,
you know, arm up your back, thumb screws, things like that. But it will just test you on what you believe, what you know.
Yeah.
Are you going to get yourself out of a situation? Are you going to go on the phone? Or are you going to go to the throne, like Andrew said? Well, that was very good, that one. That one will stick for a while, that one. Or are we just going to go straight to the throne? Anyhow, we'll read a bit of it. And it said, it came to pass after these things, that's all the things that happened before it, of course, with Ishmael, and he did some fighting and one thing and another, and casting out Hagar and Ishmael. It said, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, I am here. So he knew God's voice. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom you lovest, and go thee to the land of Moreh, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early. What's missing out of that? What should have been? What would have been our next verse? And we argued. Right, no. And God just rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come back to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he's not daft, is he? He's not going to carry it himself. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife and went them both together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" So Isaac knew about offerings as well. So he'd been with his father. He knew all about these things. And he's getting a bit wise now. There's something missing. And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering." So they went off, both of them together. So as we look, we start off in verse 2. God's saying, take your son, the one that you love, the one that I've given you, the one that I've given you a promise that I'm going to make a nation out of, and I want you to go up onto this mountain and sacrifice him. And Abraham doesn't question it. Right? Abraham and Sarah are not up all night crying and weeping and doing all these things. Abraham just accepts it because he knows his God. Because back in chapter 17, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, "Here I am, the Lord Almighty, walk before me and be thou perfect." And again, he gave him a covenant. He had an encounter with God in chapter 17. He knew his God. He knew that if God said to him, "I want you to do this," but he'd also promised that there was going to be, he was going to make his son into a great nation, or his people a great nation, that somewhere along the line, Abraham would have to come back. Isaac would have to come back. Thank you for that correction there. Isaac would have to be there to do that. That was his offspring. That was his seed, his heir. Right? So they went about collecting wood. No objections from anybody. There was no arguing. They just saddled up and off they went. But the interesting verse is in 4, I noticed. And it said, let me read out of this one. Verse 4. So they're on the way now, and it says, on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Verse 5. And he said to his servant, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Not "I will come back to you," but "we will come back to you." So he already knew the outcome. He already knew what was going to happen. He got the faith like the boy with the money. Yeah. He knew what was going to happen. He knew that God had spoke to him and said, "Your airfare will be there tomorrow." Yeah. And he took it. And Abraham was the same. Yeah. He knew his God now. He'd had an encounter with God in chapter 17. Yeah. And he understood that what God said, God meant. Yeah. And God would do. Amen. So they were coming back. He didn't know how this was going to be. We don't know how things happen. I remember one, I think it was Jerry Seville, was it? Or Kenneth Copeland somewhere. He said, "I'm not bothered if a dog runs down the road with a plastic bag with the money in it." Yeah. You know, you will supply God how you will supply. We're not to box him in. No. But God will supply. Amen. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the firewood and the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on, Isaac asked his father. And his father asked him, didn't give him the whole story, but he just said, God will provide himself a burnt offering, will provide himself an offering. And he was happy with that. Isaac knew he could trust his father. He was a trustworthy father. He knew his word was true. A likeness of God. God can't lie. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar. Then he arranged the wood on it. And then it just goes straight on to say, he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar, on the top of the wood. And there's no other dialogue in there. I say, Isaac and Abraham were both working in faith. They both knew. Abraham knew he could trust God, and Isaac knew he could trust his father. So there was that covenant. There was that covenant between them. Like I said, back in Genesis 17, Abraham had known God as Elohim. That's God the Creator. He knew God the Creator. But he had this encounter, and he met, and he said, I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. So this is another facet of me now. I was God the Creator, now this is God Almighty, El Shaddai.
Amen.
Right? With God, nothing's impossible. El Shaddai can alter things.
Yes,
he can override things because he made them in the first place as God the Creator. So as God Almighty, he can override these.
Amen.
He said, I don't need your help. I just need your faith. That's basically what he's saying.
Yeah.
Don't need your help. Just need your faith. Because if we help, Abraham helped. And he made a mess. There's something interesting, just thinking back to Bish the other day, and then it came back that this is it's the law of first mentions, right? And this is when it was first mentioned that God will provide.
God.
Right back in Genesis 17 is when God first mentioned that I will provide. And that's it. He didn't say, I will just provide you with finance, I'll just provide you with clothes. He said, I will provide. Provide. Provide what you need. Limitless. I will provide what you need. Romans 4, in 17. Romans 4 is all about Abraham justified by faith. Suddenly in the middle of this Romans, they bring Abraham in. And it says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Here is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Talking about Isaac. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him. So God hasn't lied. God had said to him, you will be. And even though it looked as though there was a spanner coming in the works, as we'd say, to stop all that, it didn't faze Abraham. He said, fine, I'll do what you say, but I know that you're going to bring this other part to play as well. So shall your offspring be. Without weakening in faith, he faced the fact that his own body was as good as dead. So God altered things there because his body was dead. and his wife's, Sarah's womb was dead. They were too old to have children. But God just said, but I'm God Almighty.
Amen.
You know, I can change that. I can override that.
Amen.
You know, I can override your situations. Man might say, I'm going to throw you out of the country. But God says, you're stopping.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
It's God's overriding.
Yeah.
And it's just believing. And taking his word. Taking the promises. So we're looking at law of first mentions, as Bish said, ooh, years and years and years ago. It's important to look back to find out where something was first mentioned, because that's the true meaning of it. Again, Paul on the boat. Paul was on the boat, about to be shipwrecked. It was El Shaddai who was speaking. We've got water into wine. It's impossible to turn water into wine. There's a bit missing. You have to have the grapes and things like that. But God says, that's no problem to me. I'll just miss that bit out and accelerate it on a bit. So we've got to stop putting God, as the term was a while ago, into a box.
Yeah.
You know, and then the term came, we work outside the box.
Yeah.
Well, it's glad we got out of the box and got, you know, we're working around the box. There's more room around the box. So we're working that way. Abraham knew his God. Abraham carried the vision of Isaac for many years, even before he knew he was going to get a son, because God had said to him many chapters previous that you're going to get a son. 25 years previous, I think it was. Right? Oh dear. Keeping you awake. And he kept that vision. He didn't let it go. So many of us will let things go. You know, we're given something, and after a few months, it's, well, it hasn't happened. You know, maybe it's not going to happen. And we've just got to hang on to these visions, these words that we're given, and just believe God. Because when you carry out these, and suddenly these faith projects come to pass, you're really miserable, aren't you?
Yeah.
Right, well. You know, we were singing about joy earlier, you know, joy, and that, you know, we're saved, we're new.
Yeah.
And there was nobody shouting that we, at that time we were singing it. It just came to me that, you know, we're not something being repaired.
No.
You're not sending, like, Zena's car's got to go in for repair, and come out, and, oh, it looks nice, but underneath it's, no, it's new.
Amen.
You know, the old one goes, you get a brand new one back. That's it, no filler in there, not going to drop out after a few months. And thing, and then crack again, it's new.
Amen.
Absolutely brand spanking. But faith is not evident today in the church as a whole. Like we've said, the flashing lights, you know, we've got to incorporate it in. And I thought exactly the same as what Andrew did about the evangelism on the TV, you know.
Yeah.
Some of it is garbage.
It is.
I was somebody's house doing a job for her, and I was there, a lot of hours, and she left me the telly on. I leave the telly on, and it was God Channel on. And you heard one, and you thought, ooh, that's good, that's really good. And then the next person that come on contradicted what the last one had just said. And then it's on a rolling cycle. So then I must have watched them all at least four times that day. And anybody doing that, by the end of the day, you wouldn't believe anything.
No.
Because one said you do it this way, the other said you do it that way.
Yeah.
Then you hear the first one again, and then you're totally confused. And it's right, Andrew says, you know, get back into the church.
Amen.
You know, not in the lounge, it's in the body of the church. Yeah?
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. They in the early church, they went round, like I said, from house to house. They encouraged one another. They met together in the temple. They had meals together. You know, they shared things together. They had a problem, they went and asked somebody, and they weren't, you know, wouldn't have tellies anyhow then. But you know, that's right. Yeah, it's joining together. It's joining up. Is he your provider? Abraham didn't hesitate. He knew God was the truth.
Yeah.
and what he said was going to happen was going to happen.
That's right.
Right? He knew the truth. He knew his God. He'd spent time getting to know God. And he didn't have a Bible.
No.
He didn't have an Old Testament either. No. Or a New Testament. He didn't have anything. He doesn't tell you why Abraham or why his family believed in God. Believed in this. Not in the here, not in here. Not in, not, it's not, but he did. He listened and he heard. Because when God spoke, he knew his voice because he said, "Yes, I'm here." He didn't hesitate. It's, "Yeah, I know you're there. You're calling me." And God had set something special up there. But Isaac had suspected something. He must have suspected something because he knew the procedure. He knew what he'd done. He would have gone with his father before to do these things. And he knew there was something missing. But he trusted his father. Both of them were acting in faith. And some commentaries have said, you know, there's a bit missing out of here because Isaac would have been screaming and shouting. And I watched an old film, actually, and that made Isaac, he was laid on there and he was screaming and shouting and doing all this thing. But the word doesn't say that because he trusted Abraham. He trusted his father. Had got it right. And if he hadn't got it right, he knew God would put it right afterwards. So he knew he couldn't win, couldn't lose, sorry. So where do we get to here? We can't lose. We can't lose. He bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar, on the top of the wood. That wasn't very comfy either, though, that. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. It's getting a bit close now. It's getting about 5 to 12-ish. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham, here I am," he replied. He's a good listener.
Yeah.
Isaac's pleased about that.
Yeah.
Right? He knows God's voice.
Yeah.
He listens straight away. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know, that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son."
Yeah.
Right? And it's quite interesting there because we did covenants a while ago. And Abraham's in covenant with God. And what did God do later on? He gave his son. Exactly the same. And he went the whole way. Right? It's covenant. So that really stuck out to me, that this God says, "Well, yeah, you've done that, I can't do any less."
No.
I can't do any less. Not actually Satan there, but you know he did go on, and you can see the likeness of all that.
Yeah.
So Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over, took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide."
Amen.
Amen. The Lord will provide.
Yeah.
So that place is called that. But Abraham knew that God would provide. And we're told that we're seed of Abraham.
Yeah.
Right? We've got the blessing of Abraham, it tells us later on. So we're seed of Abraham. So if he's saying that the Lord will provide for him, that means he must provide for the rest of us.
Yeah.
Those who've called on the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? He can't provide for those who haven't called on him,
mm-hmm.
but he can provide for those who've called upon the name of, on his name.
Yeah.
They will provide. I've rushed on in front of me now. Paul said Abraham was strong in faith.
Yeah.
Now, I thought that was quite a weak word, really, for what had actually happened. He was strong in faith. Is that word big enough for what he did? Would I have taken one of my sons and done what he did? That's when the test comes, isn't it? You know, it's like saying, well, Abraham did really, really well, but would I take Daniel or Luke? And said to him, don't worry, don't worry, son. God will provide a ram. I think we might have had an argument. But Paul said he was strong in faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Faith coming now. Faith comes when you read your word. As we're told, and Bish told us, Andrew said, and one or two others said, you read it, and when you're at home, and then they'll not think you're funny, you read it aloud to yourself. Or like Edwin, he's got tapes and discs, so he listens to it. So somebody else is reading it, but he's hearing the word of God. Tapes in the car. Sorry, I'm old fashioned now, aren't I? CDs in the car. Although I ain't with a CD player. I'm still old fashioned with tape. But it's good to have things in the car, to listen to messages, to get encouraged, listening to the word. I'm not sure how Abraham encouraged himself. He'd no word. But he knew his God, didn't he? Because he'd been told, your offspring will be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the sea. Yes, yeah. Yeah, because that was his... Yeah. Well, that was his forebears, weren't they, Shem? He came from the line of Shem, yeah. 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 And it was interesting, we were on holiday in Corfu, and Zina wanted to desperately go and see this church. And the Greek Orthodox are quite ornate churches, like the Catholic churches. Lots of icons and paintings and things like that. And it was quite a small church, and it was dedicated to the patron saint of Corfu, who in the past had done lots and lots of miracles and saved the island on numerous occasions in the past. And but basically stopped with him, because I was stood at the side of this coffin. And this Speros, his bones were in it. And I thought, wow, he was one of Paul's disciples. And his bones are in this. And they change his slippers every year, we told it, didn't we? Okay. Yeah, change his slippers every year. And then they check his slippers every year, that they're scuffed up, so he must walk around. So, anyhow, we didn't see him wandering around. But no, but it'd be a bit bony, wouldn't it? Yeah. But it was interesting, stood at the side of a coffin with bones, and those bones had really had skin on, of course, and actually talked to Paul. And it starts putting things into place, and that way. I mean, I'm not into bones, really. You know, but but you know what I mean, don't you? But the miracles stopped with him. He was the only one that could do the miracles. And after that, it probably passed on a while to some of his disciples, but it just faded out. You know, and all they do is go around kissing this coffin, which in this extremely cold room, which was very nice because it was a hot day, but it was a strange phenomenon. Well, now we got onto that one. Miracles, that's right, yeah. Miracles, yeah. Abraham didn't have this to encourage him. He probably didn't have a lot around him to encourage him. He got lots of people. He owned lots of people and had lots of slaves and things, one thing and another. But he would have to be encouraged himself by remembering what God had told him.
Yeah.
When he came to him and said, this is a covenant we're going to have together. This is a blessing. That your offspring will be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, and if you ever try and, well, you can't count it, you know. And you just sat there, you just look, wouldn't you, and just think, wow, and it's going to happen, all from one. Amen. So he's good. And I've lost where I've got to now. Right, these stories are designed to build us up. Well, the stories are the things that really happen, but they're designed to read and to build up your faith, to build up your, wow, I could go out and do that, you know, because if I'm an offspring of Abraham, I'm a seed of Abraham, we're told, by faith, well, if he could do it, I can do it. I can believe God like that. You can believe God like that. Abraham made no provision for failure. It did before the encounter, because he made one or two blunders when he palmed his wife off to different people saying they were his sister, and he made one or two, but he did make money out of that. But anyhow. But once he'd had that encounter with God, he made no provision for failure. He knew his God. He knew what God had said would happen through Isaac. That it was going to build a nation, producing kings, and that those offspring would bless everyone, I think it says, in the world, on earth. Bless everyone on earth, not just in his land. So there'd be a blessing throughout the earth. Hebrews 11:17. Yeah, you'll probably find it before I were, they're all stuck together there. Oh, that's By faith, fantastic chapter. If you want to learn about faith, read Hebrews 11. And just jumping in at verse 6, it says, and without faith it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him.
Yeah.
So you can't come to God without faith, because you can't see God, but he's there. You just know that, you know, when we were flying over, and it was fantastic. It's the best I've ever seen, flying in the daytime, no clouds, looking out the aeroplane windows, and it's just fantastic just to look at all what God's produced. And you think, can't have happened with a big bang. It's impossible. The variety, it's just fantastic to look at it all. I was mesmerised, and it was such a clear flight coming back.
Yeah.
17, I said, didn't I? I'm wandering off. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice the one and only son. Even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned.
Yeah.
Abraham reasoned that God would raise the dead.
Yeah.
And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. And then it goes on, by faith, Isaac. So something rubbed off.
Yeah.
Something rubbed off Abraham onto Isaac. Yeah. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. And again, it's got rubbed off again, because it says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff.
Yeah.
So we read in that one, it goes on, it's passed on.
Yeah.
Each one has passed something on to the next.
Yeah.
That we hope we're passing something on to you, that you pass on to your children,
yeah,
to your neighbours, to your friends.
Yeah.
It gets passed on. This faith, you can't see it, you can't touch it,
yeah,
but you just know God's there and what he's doing.
Yeah.
So Abraham knew God as his provider. Abraham was a very, very wealthy man. I was just reading, when Sarah died a bit later on, he went to the Hittites at the gate, that's where they used to meet, and he wanted to buy a field and with this cave in to bury Sarah. And they wanted to give it to him. And they said, no, I need to buy it so that it's mine, you know, that it's, I'm going to give you the going rate for it. And they said, no, because you're a prince among us. You know, he was well, even though he was an outsider, originally come from heir of the Chaldeans, out Babylon way, that he'd been accepted. He was a very, very wealthy man. He got an army. He got lots of servants. He was very, lots of cattle and things. He was very, very wealthy. But he still knew God as his provider, even though he would probably live in relative comfort in those times. He still needed to know that God was his provider, because he knew that it could all go overnight, like we've seen only 12 months ago, when people lost everything, and some people lost their lives as well to bargain with it. That he knew that that could all go, but God is still his provider. So we need to know that God is our provider.
Amen.
And if we do know God is our provider, we need to stop talking doubt and unbelief.
Yep. Amen.
We need to start, quit having worry days and fearful nights. We need to, people who believe God as provider don't live in fear and worry.
Amen.
And we all get tempted, we've all done it. And it's only afterwards you think, why on earth was I doing that?
Yeah.
You know. But we've got to get into this habit of not saying, no, God, you've said that you're my provider.
Amen.
Even if we quote, God, lost it again. That you're God Almighty.
Yeah.
You will meet all my needs. Your word says you'll meet all my needs. That you're the God of provision.
Yeah.
And provision for whatever you need at that time. So Abraham knew he was a provider. You need to know. It's not to panic in things. It doesn't come overnight. This has been mentioned. Grace mentioned, Andrew's mentioned it. Get to know God doesn't come overnight. It's a steady trickle of a thing. Talking to our next door neighbour just before I came out, and she says, are you off out for this afternoon? It's a lovely weather, isn't it? Are you going out somewhere now? I said, we're off to church, Irma, again. Yeah. Oh, you still go there? Yes, Irma. Yeah, we've been going there to this particular one now for 20 years,
Amen.
I realised. About 20 years, 19 and a half, 20 years. Oh, right. You know, and so she was. It's been steadfast. It's coming to the meetings. It's listening. It's jotting things down. It's remembering things.
Amen.
And it's just little by little by little. You know, I've always wanted to play a musical instrument. I've never had the aptitude, really. But if I'd have stuck at it for all these years, little by little, maybe I could have done a bit better, but I didn't. I have attempted a few times over the years, over the last 20 years to do this. But I've let my sons do it. They seem to have the gift for that, so. But God's not finished with me yet.
No.
It's a desire. That's it. So it doesn't come overnight. It's just sticking in there, especially for you new converts. It's sticking in there. And you'll read things that you don't understand. And you think, what on earth is this? You know, what is it? Now, Bish Cody, bless him, we might even be seeing him next year. He just said, read it. Just read it. Just say, let the Holy Spirit bring it to understanding.
Yeah.
Just let him, just read everything. You don't necessarily have to understand it all. Say, Holy Spirit, right, I'm going to read this. I'm really struggling with some bits of this. Just boop, let it go in. Because if you're reading it, it's going in. And at the time you need it, then God will give you the understanding. I've found that a numerous times. Even just reading today, some things, you know, things jump out that you've probably read, definitely have read before. I think this has been mentioned as well today, that the word says that God will supply all our needs. He will supply all our needs by his riches. Take no thought of your life. That's another one. Don't worry about what, you know, because God is going to provide. Amazing things. In Psalm, I like Psalms. I like him. Psalm 145. We'll pick a different one to address. Psalm 145. Psalms are really good for lifting you. Read them, and I think my favourite one is either Psalm 102 or both of them. In fact, really, really uplifting ones. Psalm 145, starting at verse 9, and these are David, and it says, "The Lord is good to all; he has compassion on all he has made." That's all he's made. So even on other than humans, he's got compassion. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. Any saints here? Any saints? You don't have to be dead to be a saint, by the way. That's only a churchy thing. Right? Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout some generations. All generations. That's them that's gone, them that's now, and them that's coming. The Lord is faithful to all his promises, and loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall, and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and loving towards all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him. To all who call on him in truth. Right? So there's a difference to just calling his name, like a swear word, or calling on him in truth.
Yeah.
He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. And the fear is not a fear of, as we think, fear in like a dread, that's right, it's not a dread, it's just a respect, an awesome respect for God. He hears their cries and saves them.
Amen.
The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy.
Amen.
My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise the holy name forever and ever.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, and Psalm 37, that was a familiar one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We've had that today.
Yeah.
Did you mention verse 25? Psalm 37, verse 25. Oh, I think you did, yes. I was young.
Yeah.
So was I. And now I'm a bit older.
Mm-hmm.
It says, I was young and now I'm old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, or their children begging bread. Righteous. Righteous means you're just in the right standing with God. God's forgiven you. It's just as though nothing had ever happened. He just wiped it all clean. It's gone. So God's saying today, I will provide. Trust me and see me provide. That's the message that's come out of Abraham and Isaac.
Yeah.
Isaac was very, Abraham was very childlike in his faith.
Yeah.
he just knew his God so well that he just accepted what he'd said, because he knew one way or the other God would sort it out and it would all come out just as he said it would.
Yeah.
We try and get it into a path and it's going to happen this way and that's going to happen and that's going to happen. But we just got to, like I say, work outside the box and let God do what God's good at doing, and that's sorting us out.
Amen.
Sorting messes out.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Jesus.